We'll read first two verses of the book of Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. I doubt that we'll be able to cover both of these verses. I hope that we'll be able to cover just the first verse, but nevertheless, let's get going. First off, is the author of this letter. The author of this letter is Jude. How do we know what Jude this is? In the New Testament, there's 8 Judes that are mentioned by name. But only 2 Judes have been really considered, truly considered. Now this Jude, before he speaks of apostasy, which we've covered last time, this whole letter is concerning the apostates, those who have heard the truth but have fallen away. He first speaks of those who are the saved. He talks about the believers first. And so this Jude, like I said, there's only 2 that have really been considered. First off is Jude the Apostle. Those who have been part of the team of Izbah have studied the names of the apostles, and they are very familiar with this one. And that's in Luke 6:16, Jude the Apostle. And the other one is Jude, the brother of Jesus. These are the 2 ones that have been really debated to be which one is the author. In Luke 16, it says Judas, the son of James. However, it says the son of James. Here it says the brother of James. So that one cannot be it. Ancient scriptures do say, however, Judas of James. And they assume that to be the brother, but it's the son of. That's the most accurate translation, the son of. And Jude, the brother of James, you read that in Matthew 13:55, and Mark 6:3, where it speaks of a crowd saying, isn't this Jesus, whom is also Jude and James and others who are his brothers? And so the best of what we can do is say that this Jude is Jesus' brother, from the best of our knowledge. It could be some other Jude, but from what we understand, it is Jesus' brother. Now that we know who this Jude is, what can we say about him? Scripture speaks of 2 things that are mentioned of him. What is he like? He is the slave of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. He is a bondservant. Most of our translation says he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but that's actually doulos, means slave, rab. Rab Jesus Christa. And then next thing he says that he is a brother of James. Why did Jude, if I could ask, mention himself to be a slave of Jesus Christ? Why couldn't he say, I am the brother of Jesus? Can you believe that? How much weight that would have on this letter? That would just sink down to the bottom of the ocean. I am Jude, his brother, the brother of our Lord. He could have said something like, listen guys, I'm not just a disciple. I am his brother. But he didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say that I was around when he went to school? I was around when he got blamed when I did something wrong, like the older brother? Why couldn't he say something like, I know him personally? Because that would mean nothing. That would mean absolutely nothing. First of all, when Jesus was around in his earthly ministry, his brothers did not believe him. They did not believe him. In Mark 3:21, it says that they were saying that he is out of his mind. He is out of his mind. He does not know what he's doing. And also in John 7:5, it says that his brothers did not believe him. So if he would say that I am his brother, that would mean absolutely nothing because they didn't believe in him anyways. In fact, it gives it more weight that he says, Jude, I am a slave of Christ. I am his slave. I do his will. That adds more weight to rather than him being his brother. And he would attract the wrong attention if he would have said that I am his brother. He would attract the wrong crowd. Probably like nowadays, those who try to perform a show in church who bring a zebra or maybe a giraffe to church to attract all these different people. Like I was talking to this one guy who said that they're going to bring Will Ferrell to the church. It's going to be a comedy night. Will Ferrell is somebody who is completely from the world, whose jokes are completely perverse. He has nothing to do with the church. And yet they brought him in so they could attract people from the world. And that's what Jude could have done, but he didn't do that because he sees something that's more important. He wants to attract those who are slaves of Christ. And so he is a slave of Christ, first of all. Like I mentioned, this Greek word for slave is doulos, rab. What it means is willful submission. It's not that he just took you and he just made you a slave. You do my will and you're put against your own will. It's willful submission to the Lord. How do we apply this to our lives? How do we know that I am a slave of Christ? If each one was to ask themselves that, how do I know that I'm a slave of Christ? Galatians 1:10 says, "Am I now seeking the pleasure of men or of God?" Then he says, if I would seek the pleasures of men, I would no longer be an apostle of Jesus Christ. That is to seek the pleasure of God. That's what it means to be a slave of God. You are seeking his pleasure. And then Jesus also said, I do not seek to do my will, but the will of the Father. He did not seek to do his own will. He had a bigger plan to fulfill the Father's will. Even when he wasn't willing to do the Father's will, he was still going to do his will. Remember at the cross when he says that this cup passed from me? He didn't want to fulfill the Father's will, but it was a command he needed. It needed to be done. And so you seek to do the pleasure of your master, and you seek to do the will of your master. That is what it means to be a slave of Christ. You seek his pleasure and you seek his will. To be a slave of the Lord, again, is to seek his will, even when it seems hard and impossible. Why? Because it is not man who sends us. It is not man who sends us to do his will or to seek his pleasure. It is God himself. And it's a tremendous encouragement to read what verse 24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Isn't that great encouragement that he sends us and yet he keeps us from stumbling? It's like assurance in victory, assured victory. Now, to be his slave, Jesus says, is rest for the soul. His burden is light. Come on to me, all you who are weary. And today, if Christ is not your master, if Christ is not your master, then you have a heavy burden upon your shoulders. You have a heavy burden upon your shoulders. Maybe some may not even see it nor notice it, but it is there. Anyone who has read The Pilgrim's Progress knows what that burden is. That burden is sin. And sin is your master. And sin is what leads to death. It leaves no mercy, it leaves no love, and it leaves no peace. Exactly what Luke mentions in verse 2 is what we have. But what the world is missing is what the slaves of sin is missing. And yet it is replaced with misery, pain, and destruction. Maybe some of you might be a little skeptical about the word or not agreeable with the word slave. Maybe it's a little rough, you know, being in America with African Americans and slavery. And maybe you don't like that word slave. But I'll challenge you that Paul himself called himself a slave, not just Jude. God called Moses, called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob slaves. We are his slaves. So if you are not a slave of Christ, you have a bigger master who is sin. Bigger meaning more, a bigger destruction. He will not have mercy or pity upon you. Sin will not have pity. Sin left to itself, I just want you to know what this is. If it is left to itself, without God's grace, without God's provision, it will destroy absolutely everything that God has created. It will destroy everything that he has created. It has already partially destroyed. It says that the world agonizes in birth pains over sin. In Romans chapter 8. And it seeks to destroy everything that God has created because it seeks to destroy God himself. Sin seeks to destroy God himself, but it cannot, so it tries to destroy everything that he has created. But for now, it is covered by our flesh. Sin is inside man. That's something that we deal with until we are here in this world, something that our fleshes have, but we fight with it on a daily basis. But it is covered by our flesh, but it is manifested in disobedience. It is seen in disobedience. And now, I would like us to challenge ourselves. Who are you a slave of? Either Christ or sin? Just like in Romans chapter 6. You are a slave to sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. So think about that, and may God's words be blessed. Amen.